Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
How's it going, everybody? This is Tyler Dunn here with Bob McGinn, who has taken total control of the music around here. Bob Seger, it's a good choice.
Thank you.
Are you a big Seger fan? Like,
yes, brought very you much to this so. Decision? You can understand every word he says, correct?
That's
you
good.
Really
that's,
can.
That's a really good point.
There aren't many rockers that you can say that about.
I will say this, though, and this I thought this was a great point made by Adam Carolla on his podcast, who's got the best podcast out there.
Okay.
He said that the best musicians are the ones who don't shout the name of the song over and over and over again. Think about it. Led Zeppelin, all Led Zeppelin's great songs. Black Dog, Immigrant Song.
Never in there.
Never in there. Yeah. But they're just incredible, epic songs. So,
all right.
But no, Bob Seger's good, though. It crosses generations, I'd say.
So I'm sure thousands of listeners now will be waiting through our stuff to hear the end of that song. Huh?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's not the new rock and roll. It's the old time rock and roll.
10 minutes, I'll be late for the door.
Oh, yeah. Bob, before we get into anything about the Packers, though, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up those tricky Akron Zips. They waltzed right into the big house and almost took you down.
So I taped that on Saturday, and I fast-forwarded till the fourth quarter, didn't know anything about the score, and then I sat apoplectic and watched it. My son Charlie believes that even had they won, that would have been a bigger upset than Appalachian State.
Wow.
Even though that's FCS.
Well, they
were
off.
A good team, and Akron is at the absolute armpit of the Division
right.
One, right?
I mean, when I went to Syracuse and they came in and beat Syracuse in the Dome, that was considered an awful loss for Syracuse, and that was at the lowest of low points for Syracuse football.
Right there?
Yeah, I remember it was a 3rd and 20-something. We were talking about this, and they just pulled off a draw just to give themselves punting room, and they converted it. But I don't know, I think the listeners want to know your theory behind taping games. I don't know how in the hell you can tape a game and not, you know, and resist the urge to look up what happened in that game via internet,
easy.
Cell phone.
You just stay away. Kids and my kids and everybody knows not to tell me the score of anything. They know that's how I operate. I print out my depth chart for
okay.
the college teams if I know I'm going to watch it. I never watch a commercial. Screw the commercials.
That's a good point.
Never, ever look at a commercial. Don't have time for that. And I get right to the good stuff.
Do you, are the announcers on mute, or do you listen to the broadcast?
Usually listen. Depends okay. who it is. But, you know, usually I do. But I get right to it. Now, the last second pass for Akron that would have won the game.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know the final score. I'm down there about 11 at night. And so they're right on the one. And I went through that last play in super slow-mo. Huh. And saw, you know, the flight of that ball.
The first time you saw it, you put it in super slow-mo?
Yes, I did. At that particular time, I did. Because I knew it was right there. I said, all right, I'm just going to slow it and see what happens on this fateful play.
You didn't know what happened.
I did not know the score or anything, no.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. I don't know how you could do that. I want to see it.
You're just looking at your phone and all this stuff. I'm not into that now stuff, no.
You're all about Twitter, though. You're pretty much on there all the time these days, right?
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, I like looking at my baseball box scores in the morning.
True.
With the cereal out of a newspaper.
Yes,
I don't need to look at 10 at night.
There's a purity to that. I hope people still do that. I think
Thank you,
do.
Ty.
Well, let's hope so.
We have an age gap, but at least you get that.
I do, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, we got a lot to get into. We're going to look back at that game against the Redskins. Look forward to Green Bay's game this weekend at Cincinnati. And a lot in between. We got to talk about James Starks, the defense. You talk to scouts around the league. about just the team in general and kind of how they're positioned to contend in the NFC. Really interesting column that was in Sunday that you do every year, so we got to talk about that. And then we're going to take your questions on Twitter. So, Bob, let's jump right into it. Yeah, interesting game against Washington. They go up 31-0, just dominated in all facets of the game. And I guess the Redskins scored 20 points late, but pretty convincing win for Green Bay against, a pretty bad football team in Washington.
Are they really? I mean, their defense, they had all 11 preferred starters on the field until Merriweather, you know, got knocked out. They have two pass rushers. They have some decent veteran linemen. Colfield's a good nose. You saw him beat Dietrich Smith 3 times. We can knock D'Angelo Hall and Josh Wilson, but they've both been in that league 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
David Amerson's pretty terrible.
Who?
Amerson, the rookie corner.
He's sure got a lot of ability and size. He had a horrible game, no question. But I don't think they're that terrible.
Okay.
And they got a good defensive coordinator. You say what you want about Hazlitt, but he's been around the block. And Green Bay mowed them down on offense. It right. was impressive as heck. Don't you agree?
Yeah, well, first time in team history they've had a 400-yard passer and a 100-yard rusher. I know how much you love offensive statistics. It's a big fan. Now, even with a changing game, like you mentioned in your chat today, though, pretty impressive numbers for Aaron Rodgers and the offense in general. You're right.
I mean, what do you think of the 3 wideouts and the tight end in that game?
Well, I mean, how long can they go full bore like that with Nelson, Cobb, Jones, and Finley? They're not really mixing in a ton of different personnel groups like they have in the past. They're really relying on those guys, and, boy, they're playing incredibly well so far.
You know, as long as McCarthy is having success with this no huddle, he's not going to be substituting, obviously, you know. Yeah. And, I mean, I like what he does with personnel groupings under center. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in and out. It's really cutting-edge, fast football. He's got high tempo even with a huddle. But this stuff's been working pretty well.
Help me out here, Bob, and I think a lot of listeners and readers were wondering the same exact thing. After seeing what Aaron Rodgers did at Houston, and every time a team has a single high safety or cover 3, anything but cover 2, it seems like he just goes to town on these teams. Yet Washington came into this game and did that same exact thing pretty much, and Rodgers took advantage of those one-on-ones on the outside. They did what they wanted to across the middle. I don't know. What was Washington's game plan coming in? You talked to folks on that side after the game.
Well, they got killed by LeSean McCoy, right? That's what Larry Coyer, their advanced scout, indicated. You know, I mean, they got killed by LeSean McCoy running willy-nilly out of that no huddle for the Eagles, 184 yards. And they just, you know, you got to stop the run first. I mean, you really do. You have to stop that run. And they were fearful of Lacy doing it all over again. And I know.
A rookie running back, an MVP quarterback.
Say what you want. Lacy had 3 good runs called back against that beastly Niner front.
Right.
The ground game wasn't horrendous that day other than Sitton's penalties. So they just felt they had to commit that way. And then when Rodgers knocked him out of it, well, then they went back to a 2-shell a lot more in the second half and even the half of the second quarter.
They have to know that Mike McCarthy's not going to come out and pound the ball, though.
I don't think they did know that after what McCoy had done to him. He saw that tape, obviously.
Yeah, it was really baffling, I thought, to see that. Really, the teams that have had some success against Green Bay have forced them to run the football.
And it worked. The Washington played their best football defensively in the first quarter. They got 3 sacks. They stopped 2 drives, 1 field goal, but they held in the red zone.
I don't know if it worked, though. I mean, it was 31-0 before you knew it, really.
I mean, they even beat the 2-shell, too, Green Bay did. The Redskins couldn't tackle, and then they just got demoralized, and it was over.
Yeah, sometimes we overthink these things. They couldn't tackle. Every time there's a receiver in a one-on-one situation in space, it just seemed like they were breaking the tackle. JerMichael Finley broke the 3 tackles on the 27-yarder. James Jones had one of his best games ever. And Jordy Nelson, I mean, the 2 touchdowns, it was kind of nice, you know, interesting to hear Tom Clements somewhat break down that one touchdown where Aaron Rodgers kind of called an audible in the red zone and sent Nelson in on a slant. This is an offense that's kind of in midseason form in a lot of regards. They're looking really sharp.
And it shouldn't be with Cobb and Nelson missing all that time. That's what makes this even more impressive.
Yeah.
Finley's playing with a bad toe.
And that's a really good point. And I know we've talked about it on here. I think both of us kind of thought there'd be a little bit of rust with the receivers missing some time in training camp, because we saw last year. I mean, it took these guys a few weeks to get going. But when I asked Aaron Rodgers that last week in terms of just Jordy Nelson missing time, if that would affect things, he said, well, you know, Jordy Nelson was in his ear, and they were talking throughout the summer about what they're seeing on certain routes, what he wants to do on certain routes, and kind of keeping that communication going really helped the two of them. And if Jordy Nelson's healthy, he can be a top-notch wide receiver in the league as well. Can't forget about him.
You want to talk about rules right now in offensive football? Should we get into that a little bit?
Let's get into it a little bit, Bob. I thought that if you guys haven't read Bob's chat transcript from today, we're taping this on Wednesday. Yeah, I thought that was interesting, Bob. I mean, you've got that context. You've seen the game evolve. I really got into it. Gosh, I'm only 26, so about 94, 95.
It's 20 years almost, yeah.
But even then, I mean, it was a different game. It was a much different game than it is today. You know, kind of what was the thinking behind some of your responses there in the chat and the anger at what the game has become offensively?
I mean, even when Washington, they're down 31-0 late in the third, right? Well, 20, 25, 30 years ago, teams didn't have passing games and they didn't have rules that made passing so easy. They just shrivel up and die, and the final was 45-3, you know? But now, look what Washington did against Philly, you know? They look horrible. They come back. How many points they score? I don't know. Put up 400 yards, four touchdowns, I don't know. And then, how many points they get this week? They got, I don't know, 20. Almost had another one. I mean, 422 yards, I guess.
Yeah.
Just throwing.
Throw it around.
Packers are playing their starters. But again, if there's no pressure and the Redskins got a decent line, Trent Williams is, boy, is he a great player, that left tackle. Mm. He looked better to me 1 week later than Joe Staley for the Niners. But
that's interesting.
I thought he was good. And RG3, he's not going anywhere, but he's just completing balls willy-nilly. Yards, I don't know. How can you play defense, Tyler?
Willy-nilly.
What do you tell your pass rushers nowadays? What do you tell them? You tell them to beat that tackle, and you coach all these moves and techniques and stunts and all this stuff all through training camp, right? And then the moment of truth that in practice, the quarterback's in a red jersey tells you to keep off. Now there's no more red jersey. So they come around the corner, they beat Barkley or whatever. Where do they hit this quarterback?
Yeah.
Who's got such a rapid release? They have to start slowing up or they're going to get suspended, fined, tarred and feathered.
Do you buy, and I agree with you, but with the NFL, if Roger Goodell was sitting here at the Bob McGinn household, which I'm sure you'd open the door for him and maybe throw back a few beers, you and Raj.
Right.
Yeah, you two. If he was here, he'd probably say, Bob, we got to think about the moms back home. Little Johnny wants to play football, but mom's not letting little Johnny play football because she sees all these concussions. She sees all these injuries. So little Johnny's going to go play soccer, Bob. I think they're thinking about the moms back home.
They're thinking about money number one, Ty.
Money number one.
That's always number one.
And they don't want the quarter right.
And money means quarterbacks because that means ratings.
And money means survival. I mean, they want the game to survive.
They do.
For a long time.
Because that means money.
If it stay, it does mean money. But, all right, if a player, heaven forbid, died on a football field.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the collateral damage? I mean, what that would do for the league? I think that, you know, and you've heard all those rumors and whispers about what the commissioner was really thinking. I think he lives with that fear a little bit, right?
I remember Carson Palmer in that quarterback roundtable with Peter King and SI maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Carson was with the Bengals. I believe he said that, you know, they think a fatality could happen.
I mean, it's not like popularity is hurting, too. It's really not. I mean, no. The amount of people that go to these games, that pay for preseason tickets, that pay for fantasy football, that are just pumping money into this sport left and right. It's, I'm with you. I think it's inherently changing the game in many respects, and that's not a good thing. It's the target area is so small, but I guess they feel they have to do something.
So would today's fan, under the age of 30, would he be upset at a 14-9 game nowadays?
That's a really good question. I think people want points. They want to see scoring. They want to see the ball move up and down the field.
They want to feed their fantasy teams.
They want to feed the fantasy teams. It's visually pleasing. You know, it's just, it's going to sell.
Anything they roll out there will sell, but you think the points are going to would sell more than the D, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I think so. Yeah.
So we have this kind of a homogenized game.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing and throwing and no huddle and spread and throwing and throwing
well,
and
I mean,
throwing.
Did Nick Saban have a point last year when he said that folks have to ask the question if the no huddle offense is good for the game? I mean, he really did kind of state a case. He just, in terms of health and the game becoming too fast and all of that. I mean, obviously he has he's got a hand in the fight there with the way he plays and the way he wants to see the game go, but the game's only going to get faster. I mean, we talked to Evan Dietrich Smith and some of these players in the locker room today. They want to get off as many plays as they possibly can. I mean, you ask about what was the key to the running game. Is the running back in sync with the offensive line? Any question about the offense, and a lot of these guys keep coming back to, we just want to get off as many plays as possible and hope for the best. Take as many punches as possible.
Our colleague Tom Silverstein wrote a really good story for Sunday about the effects on the defense then, right?
Correct, yeah.
It was a good story. So these drives are 2 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes, you know, and then that defense is back out there. Be interesting to see how they handle Cincinnati because this is, you know, a pretty comparable team. Tough. Should be a battle, and I don't know what Green Bay's going
to
do.
Well, it's kind of a good way to get into the depth chart here, Bob.
Sure.
Let's take a look at the Bengals, and you'll watch them play the Steelers. Boy, the Steelers are really, they're kind of fading fast here, aren't they? I mean, a team that was just in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Man, just they have a lot of question marks right now.
They ran out of money. They couldn't pay Mike Wallace. A bunch of guys got old, James Harrison, Casey Hampton. And now they've had a bunch of injuries, you know. I mean, they've lost running backs, and they lost their center. Inside linebacker, they were alternating a couple rookies for Larry Foote. I mean, they are a hurting football team.
You have to scout well. You have to draft well. You have to think about the future. And they might be in for a long season.
So they go to Cincinnati. They get beat 20-10. Really, I thought for starting Fernando Velasca at center, the former Titan who had been out of football until a week, they just picked him up. I thought they blocked the Cincinnati D-line pretty darn well.
Mm.
Pittsburgh's got a lot of problems. I mean, there was a few pancaking or Atkins running over guards, over DeCastro once maybe, and there was some stuff with the defensive ends, but I think Green Bay's O-line has to be encouraged because Pittsburgh didn't get overwhelmed. So that's the key to the Bengal team at defensive front. You've seen these guys, right? They're pretty good.
Geno Atkins might be one of the best players at the fair weather. The average fan just doesn't really know, too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fourth-round pick who had pass rush at Georgia, but he didn't play the run worth a darn, and he fell to the fourth round because of it, you know. They saw interior pass rush, but he's only 6'1.5", and just weren't real sure that he would translate to the NFL, but he sure has.
James Harrison, a lot of people are going to be talking about this guy because of his past. You watched him. Can he still play at all?
Well, he's a strong side backer in a 4-3, and he's been, you know, a right outside backer in a 3-4. I don't even think he's going to play in this game. I mean, he's taken out on, he's only going to play against base sets, and Green Bay doesn't even have two back anymore.
Hmm.
So he'll play on goal line, short yardage. Maybe a little bit, but I don't, you know, 10, 12 snaps, that'll be about it for Harrison. He's not very good anymore either, you know. So that means this Burfict guy from Arizona State, you know, he made a million plays out there, but he was an unstable individual. He was out of shape for pro day, ran 5.01. He wasn't even drafted.
Right.
It was an astonishing considering his college feats. But now Cincinnati signed him right after the draft, and he's been their best linebacker. And he plays 100% of the snaps. It's quite a pickup. It truly is. I don't know. What do you think of their secondary, Tyler? They got Leon Hall. And
I guess he can make some plays. Reggie Nelson has been around a while. Terrence, they have some experience back there. Terrence Newman. Iloka, correct?
Right.
From Boise State.
Right.
kind of a tall, rangy.
6'3.5"
Right. I remember talking to him before the draft. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really move particularly well, though.
Okay.
In space, does he?
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, he struggles to break down. You're right. He's playing with a big cast on his hand, too, and it's a real problem. It's hard to be physical with that.
Boy, Morgan Burnett played with that, what, 2011? I don't know how these safeties can with a big thing over their hand.
I don't either, really.
Yeah.
How can you grab her? You know, we should mention this. I mean, you know, people want to – I know everybody – you know, you point to Green Bay's poor first-round draft picks, you know, Justin Harrell. Well, look at Drake Kirkpatrick. He's their number four cornerback right now in his second year behind Terrence Newman, Leon Hall, and Pac-Man Jones. He's not very good. He was hardly even playing. He hurt his hamstring in about his second snap against Pittsburgh. He won't play in this game. He's nowhere. He looks like a bust.
That's interesting. I mean, coming in, he was supposed to be somebody that was ready for an NFL scheme, you know, coming from Alabama.
Yeah. What pick was he?
Boy, I don't know. I want to say the 20s. I'm not sure okay. The exact pick. Yeah.
All right. All right. Now let's look at the O. So they got Andy Dalton, Tyler. TCU. He was 42-7 at TCU. Closes out by beating the Badgers as an underdog.
Right.
In the Rose Bowl. Right. All right, so Dalton has started every game for 3 years. He's 20-16. What do you think of him?
Boy, he seems like a guy who is built for today's NFL, quick decision maker, knows where to go with the football. They got him on an elite wide receiver in A.J. Green, decent rushing game. Yeah, I mean, coming in, wasn't the knock on Andy Dalton that he didn't have a strong arm, didn't know if he could really drive the ball downfield? I guess you see some of that. But A.J. Green kind of takes care of that problem, and you can take a shot or two just by throwing it to him regardless of the coverage.
You know, there's also concern about Dalton's athleticism, you know. Mm-hmm. Runs 4.86. They sat there and took him at number 35. The Vikings took Christian Ponder at number 12 that year. It was really a panic selection. And, boy, sometimes if you just wait or trade down or, you know.
And the Buffalo Bills took Aaron Williams, corner, ahead of Andy Dalton and Colin Kaepernick.
Really?
So, yeah.
Up in the top of the second, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
That's why they're the Bills, I guess.
How's Aaron Williams doing?
No idea. Yeah, not sure. I don't think he's playing much at all, if at all.
He's had some injuries, but, I know, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, it is a tough call, boy. Green Bay, and you referenced this several times in your stories over the years, but they really are lucky that they went Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you look at some of these teams, and it's just, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard from 30 yards away. You just don't know when to strike, who to take. It's such an inexact science. But I guess Cincinnati found their guy in Andy Dalton.
He's got him to the playoffs twice. Now, he looked terrible against Houston both years, but, you know, I picked him to win the Super Bowl. So Denver loses Ryan Clady, their franchise left tackle. I don't know where the AFC is headed right now, do you?
No, it's pretty wide open. Boy, Indianapolis got a heck of a lot better with Richardson. You'd think they would be a lot better with him now in that trade today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which, you know, we should see more trades in the NFL. Why not? These GMs should just start wheeling and dealing.
There are pretty many trades. There just aren't any trades in Green Bay for the last 3 years.
I'm talking NBA.
Like, big trades.
Right. Why not?
It's hard. They couldn't have traded Richardson either, you know, was he third pick in the draft? Had this draft situation not changed with the CBA, you know. I mean, it would have been too much money to acquire.
It is pretty wild for a team just to give up on a high pick like that, isn't it?
It is. That, you know, the front office, Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, had nothing to do with that selection. You know, Richardson, I mean, I remember a scout before that draft. He said, you know, how many games is he going to win you? You know, what's his impact? Corners can win games. QBs win games was his point. You know, left tackles can win games. Pass rushers win games. Receivers win games. Running backs, not so much.
Kind of goes back to the angst you feel about today's game, right? They used to win you games.
Ooh, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. They dominated the first round. Had to have them then, you know?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if you're Green Bay, I mean, where are you attacking the Cincinnati defense? What's the sore spot here?
Speed at linebacker. They can't run. Finley, you know, just could dominate on that flat stuff. Harrison, Maluga, Burfict, they're not fast guys. Most teams have one or two speed guys, you know. I mean, nobody here is as fast as well, I don't know. I can't say that, but nobody runs like Matthews, certainly. So you do that. The safeties, Aloka, you know, is it only made two starts. He's playing with a broken hand. And you got to get after Pac-Man Jones. You know, he's a playmaker, but yet he makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. He always has. He always will. He's a gambler. Let's look at their offense, Ty. Green is among the top five in the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to think. They're going to hit you with a combination of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Giovanni Bernard. You saw Bernard the other night. He was the first back selected.
Really smart guy, too, talking to him before the draft. He was one of the smarter draft prospects. You could tell he just got it. Yeah. Well, he had the bad knee injury early on at North Carolina and bounced back from that point. He's just that versatile weapon. I'm surprised they haven't unleashed him more than they have these first two games. If I'm Green Bay, I'd really be keeping an eye on him. This might be the game where they try to get him a lot more touches. He did have the two touchdowns there against Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, he's a tough matchup on a check down for Brad Jones and Dime.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something with, you know, McMillan or Hyde or who's ever in the slot, Tremont Williams. I mean, you have to bracket or do something.
He is a weapon they just really haven't seen these first two games. San Francisco and Washington, they don't have that guy out of the backfield that you really have to account for. So that could be kind of a wild card here.
I mean, Kendall Hunter's a pretty good player, but not like this guy. No. So this guy pulls coverage away from Green and the tight ends, you know?
Yeah.
Right? How about their old line? Now, Whitworth, Bowling, Cook, Zeitler, and Smith. It's not bad.
I'm not going to lie. The only thing I think of with Andre Smith is the 40-yard dash, Bob.
With the shirt off? It was not pretty.
Not a pretty sight there. But you know what's funny, though? Then he just turns it all around, and he's having a pretty decent NFL career, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He had bust written all over him.
He was selected a couple picks ahead of B.J. Raji.
Right.
And the Packers thought about Smith, but never had to make that call because he was gone, you know? Yeah.
Large men who can move.
He's not bad. The tight ends are good. So that's their offense, I guess, you know? Sanu's kind of another big. They're all big receivers. Gresham, Sanu, Eifert, and Green.
It's a lot of weapons to account for. On the road, it's going to be a test for Green Bay.
Yep. All right, let's go, Tyler. Let's go to the last time these two teams met, which is only 4 years ago on Friday.
Right.
4 years ago, September 20, 2009, a 68-degree day at Lambeau. And the final was the Bengals 31, the Packers 24.
The Antoine Odom Bowl or the Allen Barber Bowl.
It's only 4 years ago, Ty. So let's look at that Bengal club. Of their 22 starters, five remain starters.
Okay.
The tackle, Mr. Whitworth, the center, Cook, Mr. Pico, the nose tackle, Maluga at linebacker, and Leon Hall. The Packers, they bring back seven starters. You got Sitton, Finley, Rogers, and Kuhn with Mr. Jolly, Mr. Pickett, and A.J. Hawk. Seven guys. Cedric Benson, 141 that day. Antoine Odom, five sacks. Count them, five. Clifton goes down early. The unfortunate Darren College moves to left tackle. He gives up three. Rogers holds the ball for a fourth, and Odom runs over Ryan Grant for a fifth. Five sacks.
Okay,
so Mike Zimmer, the same coordinator. Okay,
so it was Darren College who was getting victimized.
He was.
Not Allen Barber.
Yep, College all the way. They did not bring in T.J. Lang, a rookie. They went with College instead and paid the price.
Man. Yeah, that was. I remember it was an ugly game at Lambeau, right?
Yep. And the Bengals went on to win their NFC North. It's their last title. Mike Zimmer was the coordinator that day. He's been there since 08. And he really confused Aaron Rodgers. He only hit 21 out of 39. They just couldn't really move the ball, and they just flat got beat. So
this is a team that they just don't face a lot. I mean, Mike Zimmer's still around. What kind of stuff could be thrown at Aaron Rodgers this time around?
He's really unpredictable on third down. You know, he's a 4-3 over guy, and he does a lot of stuff. He loves to come. He'll send two guys off an edge on third down, a DB and a backer from the same side. In addition, you know, he'll overload. He'll do that. He's a good coach. He's had a bunch of head coaching interviews. Sharp guy.
Interesting.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, I think we got to get into your column, talking to people around the NFL about the Packers' prospects for this season. And this was before their beatdown of the Redskins after the close loss at San Francisco. But, boy, people around the league, they liked what they saw out of Green Bay.
Well, Larry Coyer, after the Washington game, he said he told the coaches before this game, he's the advanced scout for the Redskins, that he thought San Francisco and Green Bay were the two best teams in the league. And the scout I talked to, again, before this was last week, he says San Francisco's the best team. He's got them picking Cincinnati in the Super Bowl, and he had Green Bay losing in the NFC title game. So there's a lot of respect for Green Bay, and this is after they were 0-1. I know people around the country, they're just not on this team yet. And, you know, that's the way it goes, you know, the influence peddlers on TV and wherever else, the so-called national guys, you know, they'll get around to it. But Green Bay's played good football, Tyler. Hmm. They struggled at safety without Burnett, you know, and they've given up a bunch of this whatever passing yards, whatever all that means. But they're playing pretty good, and it's early, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's kind of what Dom Capers is getting at, too, with the defense, that – yeah, this isn't the unit that they want to necessarily trot out there in a playoff game. They don't want to go out there with Jerron McMillan, you know, Micah Hyde, inexperienced, just a couple games under their belt. But they think if they can get these young guys some experience early on, rest Casey Hayward, rest Morgan Burnett, you know, Dayton Jones, Nick Perry, they're still trying to find their way in the defense, that eventually you have to think by the end of the year, if everybody's healthy, huge if. Then they hope they're in the shape that they could be in. But right now, yeah, safety play would probably be the major question mark with this team. And how did McMillan and MD Jennings look to you this last game?
I mean, thought they were okay.
They're all right.
Yeah, they were adequate, I think I said. You know, I watched them pretty much on Monday and Sunday too, and they weren't bad.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't miss any tackles, either one of them. Jennings got beat on the touchdown pass at the end by Santana Moss. McMillan was okay. What'd you think of Banjo? I mean, he played almost 30 snaps in that game.
Boy, it sounds like he's going to get an opportunity moving forward, too. I mean, according to Don Capers, that they're going to try to find ways to get him on the field. You know, the missed tackle was pretty bad. Morris's long run, Banjo had him lined up and just lost him. And he could have had an interception at one point of the game. Other than that, though, boy, it sure sounds like he was assignment sure and knew what he was doing. He played like he belonged. This is a guy that the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't even want. I mean, he was working a desk job last year. He has a LinkedIn profile, Bob. He's on LinkedIn.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
You know, he was out of football. And here he is in Green Bay's defense playing an important role. And, you know, I think the missed tackle might give the wrong impression. He is somebody that can tackle and be pretty dependable in run support, I think. I mean, that's the vibe you get talking to folks. So, yeah, maybe you see some more Chris Banjo. Just to quote Dom Capers here, he said, quote, "You could see more and more of Chris Banjo. I thought he did well. He had one missed tackle, one of those long runs. But other than that, I thought he did a nice job. He's been a physical guy for us through the preseason. We're going to have to work all those combinations this week because I'm not sure what the status of our three injured guys is going to be." That's Burnett. Yeah. Hayward's already declared out for the Cincinnati game, and Jared Bush. It's also meant that we're seeing a lot of Micah Hyde in the slot. You know, he was the talk of the preseason. Bob, what have you seen out of Micah Hyde on defense?
He's an aggressive player. He hasn't gotten home on a blitz yet, but I've seen enough in preseason to think he's a really good slot blitzer. It just hasn't happened yet. He hasn't covered particularly well at all. So I don't know. I mean, if Hayward, we don't even know when Hayward's coming back. I wrote that story a couple weeks ago that it was going to be 4 weeks. Could it be longer? Could it be after the bye? I mean, a couple weeks after that? We don't know. So we don't know. I assume Hayward's got that job when he returns and it gets back to form. But where Hyde goes, I don't know.
You know, one option, and you saw this against Washington. Maybe you see it against more of these teams that like to throw the ball around the yard, but they can always move Tremont Williams into the slot, have House and Shields outside. It's kind of up to Devon House.
What'd you think of House?
He looked a lot better. And, you know, Tom Silverstein, our colleague there, wrote about him this week. Boy, a lot more comfortable. Special teams. I guess he got their special teams game ball, so he's putting in the work there. You know, it's kind of the the last thing a lot of people remember about Devon House is that first preseason game against Arizona where he just got picked on left and right, but kind of owned the moment, owned his mistakes, and has gotten better since. I think it is does say something about the whole special teams effort there, because the flip side of it, Micah Hyde, he slipped and missed the block on a Jeremy Ross punt return that really could have gone the distance. I think Ross could have scored that. It would have been like a 53-yard punt return, just a line drive. It was all set up, and Hyde just missed his man. So.
I didn't see that. Is that right? Yeah. Right. Okay. So, you know, Hyde's had a good rookie year and so far, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not sure.
Right.
Mike Daniels, that guy was a player. I had him as the best defensive player on the Packers here Sunday. I thought he was really impressive with his sub rushes, hustling. He had a lot of pressure in that game.
Right.
He's a pretty good player. He's probably their best sub rusher right now.
He's kind of transferring everything he did during the summer to the field, and that's got to be pretty encouraging for Green Bay.
He's
not, you know, a lot of these guys are practice players. They might look great in training camp, but you don't see it on game day. Good game for him. Just he's kind of a bowling ball in there. You know, just a violent bowling ball. You know, not the biggest guy, maybe not the strongest. Well, he might be one of the strongest guys. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he's aggressive, he's violent, and he gets after you.
C.J. Wilson was inactive. You know, he and Josh Boyd were inactive. Wilson's basically been a starter in the base for almost 3 years when healthy. By the way, I saw Darius Wynn playing a lot for San Diego the other day.
That's kind of like the land of misfit toys, that defense in San Diego. They just kind of pick up everybody else's scraps, right?
There is some of that. So Wilson loses his uniform to Jolly.
So that's the decision. Jones. I mean, that's the decision there. C.J. Wilson or Johnny Jolly. I mean, Dayton Jones can give you some options and sub, and he's not going to be inactive right now. They want to get his feet wet, see what they have. So I guess it's Wilson or Jolly, similar players.
What do they have so far in Dayton?
We don't know. He says that his ankle is fine, that he could dunk a basketball right now if he had to, that he can do what he wants. Yet at the same time, kind of says, well, he's not quite the player he was at the start of training camp. He was feeling really good then. So that's part of it. And part of it is just adjusting to the NFL. I mean, you kind of see the same thing with Nick Perry. Right now, both of those guys are getting familiar with the defense. And Perry's made some plays. He had the batted ball there against Washington. But those are two guys that they're going to need to be playmakers by season's end. Other side of the ball, Bob, we got to talk about James Starks. I mean, here's a guy who was seemingly fifth on the depth chart at training camp at one point.
I agree.
Got a lot of touches early on in camp. By the end of it, he wasn't really even practicing with the offense much at all. And basically, we see now why. I mean, they knew what they had. They were going to take a look at these other guys. So here he is. He's Green Bay's starting running back after everything. I mean, they've drafted three running backs high. Alex Green in the third round. 2 years later, Eddie Lacy in the second round. Jonathan Franklin in the fourth round. Starks has had pretty much every injury you can imagine. Going back to UB, University of Buffalo, the shoulder the shoulder injury,
yeah.
The hamstring injury as a rookie, turf toe, ankle, knee, a bone bruise in the knee. Yet he's here, he's healthy, and he had 132 yards against Washington. I guess, you know, Eddie Lacy's got the concussion. I'd be surprised if he played this weekend, especially with a bye around the corner. Is James Starks just a starter until he decides not to be the starter? Is this
until
up to James? Until he gets hurt?
I mean, we,
will they just ride him?
We know he'll get hurt. I mean, the odds of every running back gets hurt in this, you know, they get drilled. So that he's going to get hurt. And the odds are quite strong, more than others, that he'll get hurt for maybe a few games. Is he over Lacy? He could be. So who's the backup this week, Ty, if Lacy's whores to combat?
Well, John Kuhn is he's dealing with his own injury right now, obviously. And so it's Jonathan Franklin. And Mike McCarthy said after practice today that he wants to work Jonathan Franklin into the offense. He wanted to do it against the Redskins. Kind of regrets not getting him some looks. I mean, by default, he's going to have to play this week. I mean, it's going to be James Starks, Franklin, and maybe not John Kuhn. You may have to see Andrew Corliss working a little fullback as well.
Maybe. if Starks goes down, maybe they put Cobb back there.
That's
and
true.
And don't even run the ball.
They could.
Do you? I mean,
they could do that.
Just forget having a back. Just throw every time. Who cares?
It's the kind of football you want. That's just Bob. Throw it. That's Bob McGinn football, if I've ever seen
just
it.
Just fire it every down. More plays. Huddle at the line. Go. Quick count.
All right. Well, let's. It's kind of like you're kind of laughing and crying at the same time. There, it's just. Is it sad for you to see what football's becoming, Bob? I don't mind.
No,
it.
No, not sad. Okay. I mean, you know, no, not at all.
All right. Well, let's talk about that run James Starks had on Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah.
Knocks him out cold. Each of them lowers their shoulder. Well, in Merriweather's case, a helmet. Starks blasts him, turns back at Merriweather, kind of gives him a death stare. Jerron McMillan's going nuts on the sideline. Everybody's just kind of in payback mode. The next thing you know, Brandon Merriweather's not moving on the turf, and Green Bay's clapping for the guy. He suffers a concussion himself. Boy, when's the last time you saw a Green Bay Packers running back deliver a shot like James Starks did on the sideline there against Washington? It's been a while.
Probably since Starks. I mean, you know, he's done that several times over the years. Boy, a couple things. You know, man, Merriweather, huh? He's a real kamikaze, isn't he?
He is.
And he's in his, like, his seventh year. Guys usually, you know, get away from that after a while. The guy's just nuts.
Yeah. Mean, what he's been fine
guts
several
and
times
and
before.
Craziness. All right, the Lacy hit. I mean, Lacy was airborne. You know, he jumped over a fallen Jordy Nelson. And so here comes Merriweather, and his target moves. His target jumps. He's trying to aim, line this thing up. I don't know. I mean, was he trying to go helmet to helmet? I don't know. I don't think so. He doesn't want to kill himself. He knows that's, you know, can be a path to paralysis, right? So Lacy jumps, and the whole thing gets screwed up, and he helmet to helmet. What was the fine today?
$42,000, I believe.
$42,000.
It's pretty bad, though, Bob. I mean, the more you watch, I don't know, the more I watch the replay of that, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
It looks like he's spearing the guy, doesn't it? I don't think that his face, I don't even think his face is tilted up to see what the heck he's doing.
I don't even know what the
rules I don't think they're going to be using for the heads-up campaign for the NFL. You're not going to see him out there with the youth football, teaching him how to tackle. I don't think Brandon Merriweather is a spokesman for those heartfelt commercials.
No. You're right there. Yeah.
No Merriweather? Going to pull him from those ads? But here's what James Starks said after that hit, after the game. I'm talking to him. Quote, I mean, I'm running. You're supposed to be physical on the boundary, and I'm not running out of bounds for many people. I'm trying to be physical each and every play I can be. I'm never going to run out. And then he said, I know what I'm capable of. God gave me the opportunity today, and I tried to make the most of it. It's been a while. I've tried to get things rolling and try to be a better player and help the team as much as I can. I'm going to continue to try to do that. He gives Green Bay that element, a physical element that we've been talking about with Eddie Lacy for months. Between the two of them, I guess they take whoever's healthy.
So let me ask you this question, Tyler. Would little number 26, DeJuan Harris, have been in Starks' role and we never would have seen Starks till the last 2 minutes the other day?
Could be, absolutely. I mean, going into the season, I really think Green Bay's plan was have all these running backs. They kind of know what Harris can do, know what Starks can do. Lacy's kind of an unknown. Franklin's definitely an unknown. And then they almost just expect injuries. They expect guys to go down. I mean, last year they weren't prepared at all. I mean, they went in and they were picking up Cedric Benson in August, picking up Harris off the streets. Ryan Grant gets a call in December. It was really a little more scramble mode. So, yeah, I think that, yeah, DeJuan Harris probably would have been that back for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Do you want to get into one more topic here before questions? Salary cap. You wrote that column recently in the Journal Sentinel, and I think that there's some football ramifications. I mean, when you have this many players in contract years, let alone looking into the future as you did, this many guys in contract years, Sam Shields, Evan Dedrick Smith, JerMichael Finley, James Jones, before they know it, they're going to have to pay Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson if they want to. Across the board, I mean, B.J. Raji. I haven't even mentioned B.J. Raji. Marshall Newhouse is another guy. so many of these players, Bob, are playing in contract years, and I have to think that's a good thing for a football team. Wouldn't they want a lot of these guys to stay hungry as long as they can?
It's a good point, Tyler. I talked to a couple players about that, and they kind of blew it off. Rob Francois is kind of a real voice of reason in that room, and he just blew that off. You know, he's one of the UFAs to be also. But it's interesting. You got 15 guys fighting for their financial futures here or somewhere else. I know it's a motivating factor.
Yeah. Right. I don't think fans and outsiders necessarily want to hear it, but as you said earlier on a different topic, it always comes back to money, and that's going to be a motivating factor for guys. It just is. I mean, this is their life. This is their livelihood. This is their career, and the Packers can kind of use that to their advantage here a little bit, and they don't have a lot of money to work with themselves.
Let's remember the great Cletus Hunt.
The great, almost as great as your Philip Merlin, who made an appearance
Sunday.
Phil was in there in the second series.
He was.
Good football player.
Get out.
Number 93.
Get the hell out of here. Philip Merlin.
He's not as good as Hunt, though. All right. Cletus.
I think
Cletus had that contract there.
Your defense of the Washington Redskins defense is purely rooted in a love for Philip Merlin. You can't get on the field because they're so good. it's ridiculous.
He's behind Stephen Bowen, you know, some real butt kickers, and Mr. Golston, you know. It's tough. He'll be in this league a long time.
I've got no comment.
Cletus made a ton of money in 2002 in a contract year, a career year in a contract year. I believe it was $25.5 million over maybe 4 years, and never pissed a drop again.
Did he check out? What was he like in the locker room after he signed that deal? Could you sense him checking out?
No.
You couldn't?
No, I can't. No. People who can, more power to them.
Yeah.
I can't read what's in these guys' hearts and minds, you know? There's no way. But he wasn't the player ever again. What else about this contract?
Who would you prioritize, Bob? If you're Ted Thompson and you're sitting there, you're looking at that list in front of you right now, which player in a contract year are you prioritizing? Number one, we've got to keep this player.
I'm not saying right now, Ty. I'm ducking that question. It's two games in. Ted and Russ Ball, they're not saying either. They've negotiated with Raji and Shields. All right. Maybe some others. They're just going to wait. Wait several more weeks here, several more games before they make their first move.
I guess the real question is, what is your backup plan? If you don't have this player, what are you going to do? Do you have somebody ready?
You develop.
Of course. But which player, which position is the toughest to replace? I think you look at B.J. Raji and you look at JerMichael Finley.
Do you see Andrew Corliss as a starter?
He's still working back from missing so much time as a blocker and trying to find his place in the offense. They're giving him that opportunity. It sure seems like they're trying. But right now, JerMichael Finley just totally diversifies the offense. They can do so much with him, move him around. His yards after the catch this year, it's been night and day compared to last year. How many times did he catch the ball last year and was just kind of stumbling around and he couldn't stay on his feet? So far this year, he's running over guys. If that trend continues, he's going to get paid, you know, here or elsewhere. And if he continues doing it all year, it's going to be a lot of money elsewhere, because you saw how these teams paid for tight ends this past offseason with Jared Cook and Martellus Bennett. They got a lot of money. I think Finley, it's all up to him.
He is responsible for the team's only interception this year.
That's true. Right? Big mistake.
That's why Brandon Bostic is here. He's not here to play right now. Mm-hmm. He's here in case they can't pay Finley, you know.
We'll be interested.
Josh Boyd is here, too, because of all those UFA D linemen on the list.
I'm looking forward to see Bostic on the field. Right now, Jerry Fano just says he's not ready yet. Playing in this offense, there's so many intricacies and nuances that he's still young and raw, but boy, you can tell they probably do want to see what he has at some point. Any final thoughts, Bob?
No, let's hear the man from Motown.
All righty. All right, folks, here's little Bob Seger.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.